Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, if you have your Bible, I hope you do. Open it to Ephesians chapter 6. We're in a series on the armor of God. The armor of God. And I hope it's helping you. It's helping me. Amen. Revelation's coming. Amen? Yes. The armor of God. And there are seven pieces to the armor. Seven. The one we're missing is the spear, which represents prayer. So there are seven pieces, and the number seven in the Bible is the number for perfection. So God's given you the perfect equipment to live a victorious life right now. You know, think about it. You know, if you're a welder, there's equipment, there's a suit, there's things you need to wear as a welder to do your job, right? You know, if you do, if you're a scuba diver, you got equipment that you use to do your job. Think about the different careers. Think about the different things that people do and the equipment they need to do it. Well, you and I are to live an overcoming Christian life. We need a suit, but we need armor. We need equipment to do that. That's what we're talking about on the armor of God, and we've been on it for several weeks. If you haven't been with us, go to our website, download the podcast, where we've been laying a foundation. We've talked about what the armor really is, and if you've been in the church world for a long time, if you were like me, you know, I thought growing up that put on the armor of God, okay, today I put on the helmet of salvation. I'm visualizing this. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I got the sword of the Spirit. But guess what? That's not it. That's not the armor of God. The armor of God, we found out, is defined as Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge properly applied to your set of circumstances. The armor of God, all seven pieces, they represent a revelation or subject, if you please, in the Bible. And you're to take that topic that deals with your trouble and speak the word of God to it. So the armor of God is Bible knowledge properly applied to our set of circumstances. Then we found out how to use it, right? Fake it till you make it. I know it's raining out there. But we found out how to use it, and we looked at Matthew 4. Jesus, how did he use the armor of God? He used it by, what did he do? When the devil came to tempt him, he spoke the word. Think about it now. Even though he wrote it, he had to quote it. The armor isn't the armor until you speak it. Even though you may know the Bible, you got to quote the Bible. You got to say, it is written. You got to speak the word. We sang it today, right? Ellie led us. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. So we found out what it is. It's Bible knowledge. The reason that we have this here, because Paul, who was in prison while he wrote Ephesians 6, was looking at a Roman soldier, and he realized that we're in a battle as Christians, and we have armor. And he likened the seven pieces to the seven revelations of the Word of God that you and I need to be aware of, knowledgeable of, and how to use it. So you use the Word of God or the armor by speaking the Word. Y'all with me? And then I taught you how do you put it on every morning. It's not going through saying, I put on the helmet of salvation. I have the sword of the Spirit. That's not how you put on the armor. You put on the armor through meditation. We spent a weekend on that. Through meditating on the Word of God, you take a promise and you begin to meditate on it. If you need healing, find healing scriptures. You meditate on it till you believe it. You say it till you believe it. You start saying it till you believe it, and then you say it. That's the formula. Say it till you believe it, and then you say it, and then the sickness goes. Then the mountain goes. So we found out then that you put on the armor. If you need financial help today, you find scriptures on finances. By the way, Jesus talked more about finances than he did heaven. He talked more about money than he did heaven. So you find scriptures that deal with money, and then you speak those promises till you believe it, and then you speak it, and poverty and lack goes. That's the armor of God. Are y'all with me? We're in a war, right? Spiritual battle. It's spiritual. It's a war going on, and the battleground is your mind. It's between your ears. There's fiery darts. Y'all remember that? There's fiery darts. There's evil days. We're going to look at it here in just a minute. So with all that said, let's go today and let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read there Ephesians 6 and beginning in verse 10. Follow along with me. And he says here as he concludes the book of Ephesians, he says, "Finally, my brethren," so he's talking to Christians, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Notice, be strong in the Lord. Where does our strength come from? The Lord. Our strength comes from our relationship with God. Notice, our strength comes from being in the Lord, a relationship with God. That's where our strength comes from. Our natural ability isn't enough. Our natural ability isn't enough. We need God's ability. So finally, my brethren, for the warfare that you and I are in, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Notice, he didn't say put on part of it. He said put on the whole armor of God. There are seven pieces. We don't want to be Christian streakers, right? We don't want to get up and leave our house without putting on the whole armor of God. Not one or two pieces, but the whole armor of God. Well, Pastor, how do I put on the whole armor of God? Your one-year Bible. Y'all, don't forget that, right? We're reading the one-year Bible. Pastor, well, I was on vacation, and I got sick, I got this, I got that. And Pastor, get on the wagon again. Amen. Don't let the devil defeat you. Don't let the devil make you feel guilty. Just hop right back up and start today. Where at? What's today? The 17th. Yeah, praise the Lord. So put on the whole armor of God, seven pieces. What am I saying? You need to know the whole Word of God. And reading the one-year Bible gives you a psalm, a proverb, a New and Old Testament scripture. Balance. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand. And not last weekend was April Osteen, but the weekend before, I talked about how to stand and resist. I talked about, the release of faith, the fight of faith, and the answer to faith. Y'all remember that? I taught on the release of faith, the fight of faith, and the answer to faith. I talked to you about how to stand and resist. If you're not putting on the whole armor of God, you don't know what to resist or to receive. If we're not in the one-year Bible, if we're not reading our Bible, if we don't have a Bible knowledge of what the Word says about our health, our finances, our family, our future, and we're pro-life at Church on the Rock, we're pro-family at Church on the Rock, and we're pro-Word at Church on the Rock, right? But I've got to know what the Word says. I have to know what the Word says so I know what I'm to resist and know what I'm to receive, know what I'm to fight against, and know what I'm to fight for. Y'all with me, family? So put on the whole armor of God, the seven pieces. How do you do that? One-year Bible, that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We taught on that. We talked about that. But I want you to see something. Who's to put on the armor of God? We are, right? God's not going to do it for us. Put on the whole armor of God. Who's to do that? Brethren and sistren. Y'all remember that? You start off in Ephesians 6, verse 10. To finally, my brethren. Brethren is always a representative of Christians in the Bible, okay? So Christians are to put on the armor of God. You say, Pastor, I know that. Well, most people don't. Really? Yeah, most people don't. Most people are blaming God. I'm going to come over here. You say, I'm a victor and not a victim. At Church on the Rock, we are victors and not victims. The world right now has a victim mentality. So notice, who puts on the armor of God? You tell me.
We do.
Well, Pastor, that's a no-brainer. Not for the world. I'm listening to a podcast. I'm listening this week to a podcast. It's a Navy SEAL podcast. One of the Navy SEALs is retired. It's one of their podcasts. And he's interviewing another Navy SEAL that's retired. The one Navy SEAL that is over the podcast is an atheist. The Navy SEAL he's interviewing is a word guy. Seriously, he's a Navy SEAL, born again, spirit-filled, believes a word of faith like we do. And so he's being interviewed by the host, who's a Navy SEAL, retired atheist. And it was really cool. You know, he says to the guy he's interviewing, who his name is Chad, by the way, and he was a Navy SEAL for 12 years. He's born again, spirit-filled, word of faith like you and I believe. And the host says to him, you know, I respect your Christian faith. Now, this is this week on the podcast, okay? He said, I respect your Christian faith, but I can't serve a God that you serve. And Chad, the born-again Navy SEAL, says, well, why is that? And we've all heard this, and the host says this, you know, if there's really a God and he's a good God, then why is there killing, rape, abortion? Why is there racism, injustice? He said, you know, he's an atheist now. He said, you know, I can't serve a God that you serve, Chad, because if God's really good that you say that he is, then why doesn't he do something about all the, I won't say the word that he said, in the world today? How many non-believers do you know use that excuse? We all do. We all do. But the answer to that is this. You see, the host doesn't know the word of God, and he doesn't have a born-again spirit, so he can't receive revelation from the word of God. Sinners can't understand the Bible. You do know that, right? Sinners can't understand the Bible. Ungodly people can't understand the Bible. You've got to have a born-again spirit to understand the Bible, because it's spirit food. So the answer to that is this. God has done everything that he can do, and he's given us the power of choice. He's not going to make us robots. See, if God could make everything right, he'd make all of us tithe, go to church, live right, never lie, never cheat, never gossip. If God was in control, every seat in this place would be full this morning, and the curtain would be down, and there'd be people across the street in the North Campus. Every seat would be full if God was in control. If God was in control, there'd be no rape, there'd be no abortion, there'd be no racism, there'd be no murder, there'd be no wars. But see, God says, I want people to love me out of their own choice. I want them to serve me out of their own choice. I want them to go to church out of their own choice. I don't want to force them or make them. That's why there's bad things in the world. We looked at this our very few weeks in this series. Do y'all remember that? Satan and God, and Satan was what? He was Lucifer, and he was the head of worship in heaven, right? He rebelled against God, took a third of the angels, which are now demon spirits. We looked at all that. Go back if you're visiting. Go back into our website and go back into this series. We discussed why bad things happen to good people. Okay, we looked at all that. So today, if it's going to be, it's up to me, right? Things don't change till I change. We have the power of choice. Your choices determine your circumstances. Your decisions determine your destiny. Amen. So we are to put on the armor of God. We are to do something about our life. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, or fights not with people, but it's against the spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. And here it lists, we looked at it, four levels in the kingdom of Satan. Now remember, sinners don't understand anything that I'm teaching today. You got to be born again with a spirit that's brought to life to understand the Bible. Okay? So our wrestling is not with people, it's with the spirit behind people. And we looked at the four levels here, okay? Verse 13. Am I helping anybody today? Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, not just bits and pieces, but the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand on the evil day. We talked about how to stand, how to resist, how to withstand earlier in one of our sessions. In the evil day, having done all you know to do, stand. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, your loins are your emotions. Did you know that? The loins here are your emotions. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, or the belt of truth. Now, that's the first piece. And the law of first mention would say that's the most important piece. In interpreting the Bible, there's a law called the law of first mention. And the law first mentioned, it means that's the most important of the list. So today we're going to talk about, if we have time, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to try to finally get into each one of these pieces. We're going to hit these two. But evidently, this is the most important of the seven, the belt of truth. Everyone say the belt of truth. You know, if you're a guy, you understand how important the belt is, because the belt holds you together. Come on. You know, if you see some guys with suspenders and a belt, they're double-minded. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the belt of truth, and then number two, having on the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to look at those two today. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. He's listing them now. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts are lies, suggestions, thoughts that contradict the word of God. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, seventh piece, prayer. Praying always. Notice, a lifestyle of prayer. A lifestyle of prayer. Pray first. We're coming up with that with our small group starting in a few weeks. Pray first. Praying always with all kinds of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer, like there are different kinds of sports. And in each sports, there's rules to make that sport work. And prayer, there's different rules for each prayer. You have to know the rules for that prayer to make that prayer work. Where do you get that information? Your one-year Bible. Boy, Pastor, you're really, amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now let's go back. And we're going to look at these two pieces. Guys, if you go back to verse 13, we're going to look at these two pieces of armor today. Everybody say two, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Okay. Wherefore, take unto you. So if it's going to be, it's up to me. Take unto you. We do this. God doesn't do this for us. Wherefore, take unto yourself the whole armor of God. I don't know if you remember, I gave you an illustration of Derek Prince. Anybody remember Derek Prince? He's now in heaven. Look him up. Google him. His stuff got really good teaching, really good stuff. And so Derek Prince said that he quoted over 200 verses a day in his prayer time. That he quoted an average of 200 verses a day in his prayer time. What was he doing? Putting on the armor of God. Putting on the armor of God. Wherefore, take unto you, so putting on the armor of God comes through meditation. Part of meditation is memorization. Memorization. Think about it. The scriptures that you've memorized and that you know, that's your armor. Think about it. The scriptures that you've memorized and you apply, that's your armor. So if you know a little word, you're streaking. Right? You're not covered. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand the evil day, the worst day of your life. Having done all, and a lot of us, every one of us are in some kind of battle, and some of you are on the verge of, you know, this is it, I can't take it anymore. But I want you to know God's for you, God loves you, and God's given you the equipment to withstand anything the devil throws at you. But you need a community. You need a church. You need a community like Church on the Rock. Having done all to stand, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins, that's your emotions, girt about with truth, or the belt of truth. So notice the law of first mention. This is the first of the seven pieces. So this is actually the most important. Having your loins girt about with truth. What is the truth? Bible interprets Bible. Jesus said his word is truth. So the Bible is the truth he's talking about. Can I break it down and make it simple? That's what my gift is taking hard things and making them simple. The belt of truth is this. Keep the word of God the center of your life at all times. That's the belt. The belt of truth, the belt is in the center of our body. So what this means is keep the Word of God in the center, a core of raising your family, of building your business, of all your relationships, of picking a mate, of making your decisions. The belt of truth, well, Pastor, okay, great. I keep the Bible priority. It's first place. It comes first. It's the center of my life. It's my foundation. Daniel led us. We sang about it. Build your house on the rock. The rock is the Word. Well, Pastor, still break it down. I'll break it down. Here's how it works. What does the Word say? That's the belt of truth. And finding a right person to marry, remarry, build a business partner, a decision that I need to make about my future, a purchase, an investment, the right church, the right home, the right city. I need to always ask myself before I make the final decision, what does the Word say? That's the belt of truth. So you put on the belt of truth. Now, let's go on, guys, here. Let's look at some things we have. The belt of truth, the belt of truth is what does the Bible has to be the center of your life. What does the Bible say? So you know what to resist, you know what to receive. So let me give you scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is why the Bible's important. This is why this year at Church on the Rock, we're going through the Bible, the one-year Bible. This is why the law first mentioned, the seven pieces, the most important is the belt of truth. Because they would hang their sword on it. They'd hang their shield on it. In other words, everything hangs and depends on the belt of truth. Everything in your life, if you want to keep your life together, make sure you put on the belt of truth every day. What's that? Your one-year Bible. What's that? Throughout the day, when you're making decisions, you ask yourself, what does the Word say about this? Okay? So the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God. So this book is like no other book, right? It's anointed. The whole Bible was given to us, the whole Bible. Can I have a witness? The whole Bible. You got a lot of preachers wanting to cut this Bible, parts of it out today. Say it's not relevant. It's not for today. Well, the whole Bible, 66 books, the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God, is useful. What's it useful for? To teach us what is true. What's it called? The belt of truth. I'm not going to go to the news for truth. I'm not going to go to social media. I'm not going to Google for truth. Right? I am not. Where am I going to go for truth? The Word of God. The Bible was given to us and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong. Whoa. So it shows us the right way. And then number two, it shows us when we get off that way, what's wrong in our life. Boy, Pastor stepped on my toes today. That's my job, to do it in love, right? Every time I teach, it should edify us. It should equip us. It should encourage us. But also, it should correct us. If what I teach never corrects us, I'm not a good pastor teacher. Because the Bible is always correcting. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Don't forget the free food truck on the way out today. Praise the Lord. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration. It's anointed like no other book. It's useful. It's useful. It's profitable. It'll make a difference. It teaches us what's true, number two, what's wrong, number three, it straightens us out, and number four, it helps us get back on the road. That's what the Bible's for. So we need it. It's useful. It's profitable to show me the right way, to show me when I get off that way, to show me how to get back on that way, and to help me keep on that way. Are you still with me? This is why we need the Bible, okay? Verse 17, it's God's way of preparing us. The Bible prepares us. The Bible equips us for life. The Bible prepares us for challenges, disappointments, setbacks. The Bible prepares us for divorce, remarriage, blended family. The Bible prepares us for when a Christian business partner does us wrong. The Bible prepares us when a Democrat's in office or a Republican. Hallelujah. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the B-I-B-L-E. Y'all went to Sunday school, six of you. All right. Your parents did well. It's a way of making us well-prepared at every point, fully equipped. The Bible equips us to do good to everyone. How cool is that? That's the belt of truth. I think we're going to get today is put our belt on. So number one, the Bible is useful. It shows us the road, the life. It shows us, what does the word say? Jesus said, I came to give you life, and I came to give you a life abundantly. Religion doesn't say that. Come on, somebody. Religion is all about don'ts and no's, but when I get in the Bible, it's useful. It gives me light on what does God think? What does God really think? What is God's will for my life? And God's will for your life is that you have life and life more abundantly. But there's a real devil, adversary, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life and your purpose. So the Bible's useful to showing me the road. He is the way, the truth, and the light. This is the belt of truth. This is the belt of truth, which is keeping God's word, which is, I heard Tommy say today, and David hosting online, Tommy said, the first thing I did today, he's online this morning talking, he said, the first thing I did, I got coffee, second thing, 1 year Bible. What was Tommy doing? Putting on the armor, putting on the belt of truth, making the word the center of everything he does today, building his house on the rock. All the songs we sang about deals with this. Oh, God's good. Amen. So then number two, what does it do? Is what shows us when we get off. It shows us when we get off, when we're doing wrong. And you know, folks, you know, humility is a huge thing. If I want to grow in God, it takes humility and gratefulness. Humility and gratefulness. Daniel and I were talking about this this week. You know, we had the privilege to be around some really, really top-level people in another state. And we both talked about how, isn't it interesting that the higher up real successful people go in their field, they get nicer. And they're more grateful, and they're more humble, and they want to keep learning. We're not talking about people who are gangsters, okay? We're talking about, you know, real people with character. And the higher they go in life in their field, they're more humble, and they're more grateful, and they're more thankful. Wow. So the Bible shows us when we get off, and most people don't want to know when they get off because of pride. Pride, okay? And it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault, and that victim mentality. They don't want to know when they get off. They want to know when everybody else gets off. Okay, all righty then. All right, so number three, how to get back on. God's a good God. Righteous people fall seven times. But they get back up. Come on, somebody, they get back up. None of us are perfect. We all blow. We all make mistakes. But God's a good God. God's for us, and God loves us, and God will show us how to get back on, right? The Word shows us how to get back on. Oh, thank God for the Bible. Amen. So this is the belt of truth. You see, some people, they fall, and they want to give up, and they want to, you know, throw their life away, and they want to go in the wrong direction, they need to know that God is a God of hope. Where do you find that at? In the Bible, in the belt of truth. And the truth, what does it do? It sets you free and keeps you free. That God is this tells me God is a good God. God is for me. God wants to help us. God loves you. God's not against you. God's not out to pull us down. God's out to pull us up. So this shows me how to get back on track. The belt of truth. And then number four, how to walk on that road successfully. How to walk on that road successfully. So how cool is that? The law of first mention, seven pieces. The first piece is the belt of truth. Question, what is that? And what is that? Keeping the word of God? That's not good enough. You can't go yet. The doors are locked. Got to get the answers right in the quiz. It make the word of God the center of your life. So how do you do that? Through the 1 year, you got to be intentional, right? And you can't blame God. You're going to have to do it yourself. Can't blame the church. You got to do it yourself. You got to teach your children how to do it. That's what we're doing at youth camp over there right now, right? Children's church downstairs right now. So the belt of truth, it's the most important, everybody. That's the name of our church, Church on the Rock. And what do? Make the word plain, simple. Take hard things and make them simple. How do I put on the belt of truth? Well, what does the word say? I'm to forgive. I'm to let it go. I'm to let it drop. What does the word say? I'm to tithe. I'm to give. What does the word say? I'm to serve in church and not be a spectator, but a participator. Right? Well, what does the word say? I'm to build my life on the rock. What does the word say? I'm to be filled with the Spirit. What does the word say? I'm to be kind, courteous, respect. Are y'all with me? That's the first piece of the seven. So if I don't put the belt on, I can't keep things together. I can't keep my life, my marriage, my parenting, my business, my career. I can't keep it together without putting on first every day the belt of truth. I'm out of time. Did I help anybody? Come on, let's give the Lord a thank you for the word. Hallelujah. Okay, so how do we apply that? Say this with me. Hold up your Bible. Here's how you do it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I was taught the word of God. My life, every time I come, my faith, every time I come, gets stronger and stronger. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank God for the word, can we? Come on, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.